there are certain things about this time of year that I do enjoy. I don't enjoy the heat and the humidity of summertime. But I do enjoy the longer days, the ability to be outside without having to be bundled up. And probably the most enjoyable thing for me personally is being able to enjoy the fruits of the ground, especially those garden-grown vegetables. I just remember going down and visiting my mama and pawpaw, my mom's parents down in Roanoke, Virginia, who grew almost all of their own produce. And mama, for every midday meal, which they called dinner because it was a hot meal, in the summertime, you could almost literally be a vegetarian and just feel completely satisfied in eating those fresh, garden-grown vegetables. And I think my brother Jonathan and I, who share a passion for cooking, also would agree that there is nothing like organically fresh-grown vegetables to satisfy the palate, but also to satisfy our own nourishment in terms of the good things that come from the good fruits of the ground. And Jesus, who is talking to his disciples and to this crowd on this in the seventh chapter of St. Matthew, in his Sermon on the Mount, is using this agrarian concept that was well known to everybody who certainly would raise their own vegetables, and if fruits, if they didn't, they were certainly buying them at farmers markets. But in teaching them in terms of the fruits which are born, and warning us, his disciples, and warning the church about being aware of false prophets. He says, by their fruit you will know them. By their fruit. It's not good fruit. It's not the good fruit that comes from the ground which nourishes us, but it's a bad fruit. It's a bad fruit. The reality is that all of us bear fruit. Every single person who walks through this life bears fruit. The question is whether it's bad fruit or good fruit. Is it the fruit of lust and self-centeredness? Is it the fruit of anger and resentment and hostility and abuse and broken relationships? Is it the fruits of greed and the lust for power and control? Or is it good fruit? Fruit unto holiness, as St. Paul describes it or calls it in the epistle lesson for today from the sixth chapter of Romans. And I want to read just the last few verses of that so that you can hear this again. Beginning in verse 21 of Romans 6, he says, "What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed?" What fruit did you have then when you lived as pagans, when you lived as unregenerate people, of which you are now ashamed? And of course, St. Paul, in talking to what had previously been a pagan Roman society, a society in which they celebrated violence, in which they celebrated free sexuality and immorality, many who participated in this, but now having come to the faith, remembering that they are no longer slaves to sin. He goes on, verse 22, "But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness." Let me repeat that. You have your fruit to holiness. And the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is what? Death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. We all have our fruit. We all bear our fruit. And yes, all of us, even for those of us, my brothers included, who grew up in the church, my dad having been a pastor, yes, we sowed our wild oats in our youth, as it were. And I know that there were things of which now I, looking back, am ashamed, even as a believer, even as a Christian. But the reality is that God has called us to a life of bearing fruit, not unto death, not unto our self-destruction of the soul, but unto everlasting life. Fruit unto holiness. You know, St. John Chrysostom talks about the degrees of brokenness of humanity. And basically has said that, you know, even the most evil person has some spark of goodness, of the image of God within him. And even the most holy and pious man, short of becoming an actual saint, still struggles with some darkness, some brokenness. And he said it like this: basically, we're all insane, just only in a matter of degrees of insanity. And it's the same way with certain, within even the things that we eat. Did you know that all mushrooms are actually poisonous? It's just that edible mushrooms have much less toxicity in that they can be called edible, that you can eat them without any real harm. But the reality is that there is still certain, as I've read, still certain low levels of toxicity. And I think that for those of us who have come into the faith, we acknowledge this situation even within ourselves. When Jesus is saying, beware of those in sheep's clothing, the false prophets, those in sheep's clothing, you know, masquerading as children of life, but inside they're ravening wolves. You know, we can point to the heretical preachers and teachers that are out there that are spewing heresy, that are spewing error, that are fleecing their flocks, the prosperity preachers who are bringing in millions of dollars with the promise of health and material things and security in this life. And we can see that these are false prophets. We see false prophecy even outside of the context of the religious faith, with those who wrap themselves in the cloak of their Catholicism or their Protestant evangelical denomination, whatever it might be, or even the cloak of Holy Orthodoxy, and yet as public servants following a statist mindset in promulgating public policy that is in diametric opposition to the teachings of the gospel and the teachings of the church. And a statist mentality that is no longer the church which is and the bride of Christ. It is no longer Christ who is the Savior, but rather it is the state. And we need to be aware that while the state, we certainly honor our leaders. We certainly submit ourselves to government. But we do so with the understanding that it is not the government that saves. It is just because someone claims that they're Catholic or Orthodox or evangelical Christians does not mean that the fruit that they're bearing is good fruit. The reality is that we all, on a daily basis, fall short of the glory of God. And while we may be the quote-unquote edible mushrooms, we still battle with a certain low level of toxicity. As we wrestle with our own disordered passions, as we allow the darkness of our heart to be betrayed by the things that spew out of our mouths or the actions that we take in maintaining unforgiveness and hostility toward others. The people who are lost in this world will encounter Christ most assuredly, not through miracle signs and wonders, but by the fruit that each of us bear, the fruit of love and joy, happiness, forgiveness, the fruit of long suffering, the fruits of the Spirit, essentially. These are the good fruits that bring about not death, but life. For those that might have either visited or perhaps spent any time in Florida, the state of Florida, or perhaps have visited the Bahamas or Mexico, the coastal areas of Mexico, or even northern South America, there's a native tree that persists mostly along the beaches, the sandy beaches of those areas, sometimes also found in the mangroves of those regions of the world. The tree looks very much like an English apple tree. The English apples are small edible apples. So you can imagine, as the English and the Spanish explorers began to hit the coast of the Americas, perhaps being hungry, wanting to forage for food, to encounter this tree, which is not an apple tree at all, but it's called a mansion keel tree. The Spanish call it the apple of death. The mansion keel tree, which can grow as high as like 25 feet high, is listed by Guinness World Book of Records as being the world's most toxic tree. Every part of the tree is extremely toxic. The sap is so toxic that even if you were to have dew or rain drip off the leaves of that tree onto your skin, it would immediately blister your skin. The sap from the tree is known to blister paint on vehicles, automobiles. The apple, even though apparently it has a sweet taste at first, can cause almost immediate death. It looks like the real thing. It masquerades as a very inviting plant. But the mansion keel is extremely toxic and, in fact, deadly. This is what our Lord, another example of what our Lord was teaching us. We have been called to be aware of the counterfeits, to be aware of those things that we encounter, things that people, the snake oil that people were peddling and selling, to know that it is the fruits unto holiness, which are the fruits that bring us not to death, but unto life eternal. Let us produce the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit to which Christ has called us to, in being obedient to the Father, to His Word, and in so doing, bring about the gift of eternal life to the world around us. Let us bear that fruit unto holiness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.